Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. So I thought I'd say something about the use of the mantra Buddha as a meditation object. This is one that appeals to some people and not to others, just like any other meditation object. I thought I'd explain a little bit how it works and the use of it. So very simple, and we just inwardly chant the mantra Buddha throughout the day, when we don't have anything else to think, then that's what we think. We can do it along with the breath when we're sitting meditation, breathing in Buddha, breathing out Do, Buddha, Buddha. We can do it when we're walking, left, right, left, right. Left foot touches the ground, Buddha, left, right foot touches the ground, Do, Buddha, left, right, left, right. A kind of rhythmic thing. And so it's quite an easy one to keep going during the day, apart from times when we need to be thinking about something else, of course. But what you can find is that using this mantra is a way of kind of clearing the thinking mind, so that as we begin to think of something else, then we're thinking quite clearly. And as soon as we stop thinking about whatever we need to think about, then we can go back to Buddha. So it can be surprising how much we notice, how much we think and we don't need to be, how often we can be practicing this. So all the mundane things that we do that we don't really need to be thinking about, our mind tends to drift off into the past and the future, all kinds of things. Instead, we can rest it and clear it in this kind of way. Now, some people who come to meditate, then they don't go for this one. They think they tend to want to watch their emotional and mental states, interested in them, in watching themselves and learning about themselves like this. But this isn't really a very valid reason for not doing this in the longer run, because what happens, and the reason why some people complain to me actually about this practice, is that at the beginning, often this mantra will clear the mind. This will be all that's happening for a while, and then all the stuff starts coming up again, so to speak. So people come and complain and say, oh, it worked for a while, I jam, but if they're just people who want to kind of get rid of their stuff, so to speak, and they're saying, oh, I jam, it worked for a little while, but now it's all coming back. And I always just say, good, because not because I want them to have anything unpleasant happening in their mind, but because it is good to be aware of what's happening in our thoughts and feelings. But if we have the mantra Buddha going all the same, then what's happening then is we're not joining in with all this stuff. So we enter into a situation where the legend Cha described, where it's like you're in a room with just one seat in the room, and you're sat in it, and all visitors come and go, and none of them can stay because they can't establish themselves. You've got the only resting place in the room. So it still puts all this stuff seems to come back, and actually we can see it very clearly because it's wandering around the room. You see the movements of the mind, but these things can't take our minds over. So we're still in a very different situation, that these kinds of thoughts and feelings can come up, and yet they don't affect our ability to think clearly, or to feel clearly, so to speak. And we can feel more clearly what's going on, because we're in a clearer situation. It's not this confusion between, you know, the things coming up, and then we're reacting to the things coming up, and then it all gets very confusing. I mean, we're quite sure what we're thinking and or what is the stuff coming up. You know, we're not quite sure what we're actually deliberately in that moment consciously thinking. It gets all mixed up with this kind of automatic pilot that rambles away in our mind. So this is an abnormal situation, that our mind is a bit mixed up we're just joining in with the automatic pilot without realizing or just believing in it some kind of ultimate truth, or just following it blindly. I found this practice very helpful, one in order to clarify the mind and see these different things and see how the mind works, really, overall. So this is one of the traditional practices in the Thai forest tradition, as all the great masters have done this. And many of them say that at the beginning it's a difficult one, but it's one that bears great fruit in the long run, particularly if someone has faith, of course, because, you know, the word Buddha then doesn't mean something very special. And there's another way that we can see this word is as a word that encapsulates the teaching. So, you know, as we're chanting Buddha and keeping our minds clear, thinking of the Buddha, and then we can, as we go about our lives, we can be like a reminder, you know, what would the Buddha do here? What would the Buddha do there? What would the Buddha think about this? What would the Buddha think about that? So it acts like a reminder. Or if we're very well practiced, and we feel that we have a good understanding of what the practice is, then this is just a kind of act of devotion, and you can get the sense that as we chant it and clear the mind and calm the mind, that as the mind becomes calm, clear and peaceful, then it begins to have a little of the Buddha in it, naturally. A calm mind, peaceful mind has a bit of the Buddha, or a lot of the Buddha, in it, flowing into it naturally, you know, instead of this automatic pilot that's attuned to our desires. So I'll offer that one for your reflection.